You're listening to the Chapman Cast, a podcast about religion and life.
Welcome to the Chapman Cast. My name is Pierce, and today I'm interviewing Christopher Barber about witnessing. But before we get to that, I wanted to check in with you, Chris. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It was a great weekend, a lot of time to sit around and enjoy time with my wife. Got a new grill, so I'm excited to use that. Should have got it last week so we could use it for Memorial Day, but it's nice to have it.
That sounds wonderful. I got a new smoker grill for graduation from my wife, so that was pretty good.
Have you used it yet?
We have not. We have a newborn baby, and we're pretty tired, and people keep bringing us free meals, which is wonderful. But that's going to run out pretty soon, so we're looking to actually try the smoker, maybe even today. We'll find out. But enough about that. I wanted to talk to you about witnessing. You're going to be giving a presentation at the General Church Assembly on the issue and topic of witnessing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So my first general question is, what is witnessing? Are we talking about a courtroom thing? Is this a religious thing? What is witnessing?
Well, witnessing is a couple of things. There seem to be four kinds of witnessing from research that I've done. Listing them in order of intensity, it would be martyrdom, most intense, testimony, judicial, contractual witnessing. The way it works is martyrdom is when you witness unto death. And this is a faith witnessing, so being martyred for your beliefs. And then there's testimony, which is when you witness to your faith, or witness your faith to others. You explain to someone, or you really tell them what it is that you have, your relationship with the Lord, and how that's changed your life. So that's testimony. And then it gets, from there, it leaves the religious behind, and it moves into the sort of courtroom ideas. We move into judicial, which is you're talking to a judge saying, I saw this person do that, or I saw this thing happen. And finally, there is contractual. And you see this in the word with the setting up of stones or pillars or altars to recognize an agreement.
It seems to me that from a religious perspective, that second kind, testimonial, would be most interesting. Although, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you a bit more about martyrdom witnessing. That seems to be something from the past, 1,000 years ago or more.
You'd be really surprised. There's a book, and I've actually mentioned it before on this podcast with you, and it was Tortured for Christ, Richard Wurmbrand. He was a pastor under an oppressive government, and he was imprisoned for years because of what he believed and what he taught, and because he was not willing to stop preaching it and stop teaching it. So he was thrown into prison, and he was there for a really long time, along with a bunch of other people. His story, you can get it for free, actually. If you go on BibleGateway.com, you can click the link and get a free copy of it. His story inspired a group called the Voice of the Martyrs. These are stories that are happening in the 60s, the 90s, I think some were early 2000. Martyrdom isn't gone.
Are we called to be martyrs?
That's a question that I struggle with, especially now, reading and researching in preparation for my assembly talk. It's a scary thought. Just how much am I willing to give for what I believe? There's a great story, and it's in Tortured for Christ. One of the agents, some sort of military man or policeman, enters a church where people are worshiping, and he takes out his gun, and he asks if people there are willing to die for what they believe. And if they are, then they will. Essentially, that's how it goes. A bunch of people get up and leave the church. At which point, he puts his gun away after they're gone, and he said, I wanted to be with true believers. Whoa. Those people who stayed put everything on the line, put their lives on the line for what they believed. I ask myself, is that the sort of thing that I could do? Is that the sort of thing that I should do if it comes up? Or should I say, self-preservation, I can do more work here than I can after I'm dead? And I can't answer that question. Is that the sort of thing we're called to do? It's a personal thing.
Living in America in the early 21st century, we're pretty lucky. I think we sometimes forget how lucky we are. Coming right off of Memorial Day, to think, I don't have to worry about my religion and my faith. And that's a pretty surprising thing. Reading about Christians, even in somewhere like China, being persecuted, or other religions being persecuted all over the world, it reminds me how blessed I am that I don't actually have to face that question of whether or not I'm supposed to martyr myself. But I am concerned about how much good can you do. And then secondarily, I don't want to feel like I'm blaming people who do run away for whatever reason. They could love their kids, they could love their wife or husband. I don't want to look down on them and say they have a lesser faith, because I don't think the Lord does. Let's talk about the second kind of witnessing, testimonial witnessing. What is that exactly? Can you give an example?
Well, any sort of new church collateral that you pick up, any new church collateral book that you find, Grant Schnarr is putting out some great materials. The one that really grabbed me in my entrance to the new church was You Can Believe. And that book essentially is a testimonial book. It's not him saying that here's how it's affecting me, but it is speaking to others what faith is and how it can be in your life. So that's one part of witnessing, and that's more of a giving. The other part is sort of as you're speaking with someone else, looking into yourself and looking at how the Lord has changed your life and looking at how faith has changed the way that you live. There's a lot to testimony. There are elements to it. This was great. I found this in the New Catholic Encyclopedia. The three elements, according to them, the three elements of witnessing are having a message, there being signs to convince, and finally, very interesting term, divine helps.
I'm a little confused over the second and especially the third, but first, just to focus one at a time, the first one is having a message.
Witnessing is about what has happened to you. There are as many different messages as there are people. They're all talking about the same good. They're all talking about the same feeling of the Lord in their life, the same presence of the Lord, one God. He's in their lives. But the way they came to him and the way they experience him, it's different for every person. So the sorts of things that I think would be included in a message, let's say the sorts of things that I would put in a message would be how much brighter my days seem with the Lord. Brighter because of purpose. Brighter because of belief in providence. And a feeling that he's guiding everything and there to hold me and there to keep me and has a plan with me in mind. And is constantly giving me what I need to fulfill that purpose. That's the sort of thing that would go into witnessing. And we find examples of how to do this. Paul is an amazing example of witnessing. He was witnessing every day. And in chapter 26 of Acts, we see him witnessing to King Agrippa, his faith. In that, we find examples of how it is that we can provide a message and witness to others.
One of the examples in my life that I just witnessed was in the ordination to the priesthood that I went through and five of my classmates did. During that ceremony, we each give a statement of faith where we actually face the congregation and tell the congregation what we believe about the Lord and about the Word and about salvation. It was a very public expression or statement of faith. I'm wondering if you've seen anything like that in the Word.
When the doctrines go into the internal sense of what witness is in the Word, it talks about those who confess and acknowledge from their hearts that God is God, and then live in accordance with him in their lives. Over and over again, this is what comes up.
You gave a great example of Paul. Are there any other examples from the Old or New Testament about witnessing in this kind of way?
More than Paul, what's a lot of fun is the story of the blind man who was healed in John chapter 9. It's pretty exciting because we have him within one chapter being sick, being healed, and witnessing. There is a man who was blind from birth. The Lord heals the man, and then afterwards people wonder, is this the same man who was blind? And because this happened on the Sabbath day, it was brought before a council who examined and inquired, eventually called his parents in, and demanded answers. When the parents responded, because they didn't want to get in trouble for siding with the Lord and being kicked out of the temple and excommunicated from the church, they said, ask him, just ask him. He's an adult, he'll tell you. And without fear, the man who was blind and now sees, he witnessed. He said, this is what happens. It was a very exciting instance of witnessing, and it shows us how we can do it. And it shows us the whole process from being sick, from being without the Lord, to coming into a life of him and taking it beyond that, sort of living with it, being able to see, and telling people about it, which was the witnessing.
So what are signs to convince?
Signs to convince are the change in your life, the changes in your life that result from your coming to the Lord and letting the Lord in your life. The signs to convince are the things that other people see. You used to get angry when this sort of thing would happen. What happened to you? Why aren't you angry anymore? He just cut you off. The things that change in your life that people see that cause them to ask, well, what's up? These are signs to convince. It's the life changes.
I like that because it reminds me that faith isn't real until it changes your life, until you act on it. But it doesn't seem like an all or nothing thing. It's not like we let the Lord in and bam, every little piece of our life is perfect. It's more like we let the Lord in and now marriage is more important to me because I know that it's eternal. Or I've let the Lord in and I've read the doctrines and so now I know that there's divine providence and he does have a plan for every person. And then when I look at another person, I know they've been created to be an angel and that I have a responsibility to that other person to love them as a child of God. And knowing these things are nice intellectually, but until I live them, they aren't real. Or as you were talking about earlier from the heavenly doctrines, you haven't acknowledged them. You just know them. And until you live them, you can't really acknowledge them in the heart.
And that's where the divine helps comes in. And actually the divine helps is everywhere. It's providence. Let's look at it in terms of witnessing. It is the Lord helping you to live the life that will provide these signs to convince. It is the Lord helping other people to see the changes in your life. It is the Lord in the conversation between yourself and other people, giving you the words to say and opening them up to being receptive. Divine helps is the providence that is in the witnessing.
It reminds me of the passage that talks about how we learn doctrine from sermons, from reading the word, and from talking with others. Every time I talk to someone, I am a representative of the Lord in as much as I am saying something good and true. Now, I say all sorts of things that are kind of dumb or petty or not very meaningful, but then I'm just me. But thankfully, every now and then, I like to think that maybe I can be a witness, but only with divine help, with the Lord's providence working through me.
And this is only the beginning. I have done so much research into this, and it was a topic that sort of fell into my lap, and it's been so exciting learning about it and reading about it and seeing that actually this is a thing that should be a part of our lives, witnessing. And there's more to it than we've had time to talk about this morning, and I hope that if people are able that they can attend my workshop, but I know they'll be really busy at the assembly. But this is just the beginning. There is so much more. Witnessing is more than just talking with other people, and it's living. It's being a witness.
Thanks, Chris, for coming on the show today. I'll post links to some of the things we've talked about in the show notes, as well as a link to information about the session at the General Church Assembly. And again, thank you, Chris, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on another episode of the Chapman Cast.
Content on the Chapman Cast is owned by its hosts and interview guests. Find us online at newchurchperspective.com/chapmancast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes and tell your friends. We welcome your feedback in the comments section of the website. Thank you for listening.